The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Tony's off, so we need someone who's going to speak some truth on today's show.
Mike, I'll always be frank with you.
I see what you did there.
Paying attention, I like that. You look sharp.
Thank you.
What's up with your football team? Both of them in Chicago. Should we talk about that?
No, because you're going to depress me going into the show if we talk about the Birds. So, you know, we'll see what we can do against the Bengals on Sunday. Welcome to PTI. Tony is taking the day off. So I'm joined by our great friend, fill-in Frank Isola. That was sort of tepid, if you ask me. But, you know, all the fans have wandered out to FedEx Field.
Yep.
Let's start with the New York Giants following your path, Frank, down to D.C. to take on the Washington football team tonight. Both squads lost their openers last weekend, and the football team also lost starting quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick. So Taylor Heineke gets the start. Frank, which of these teams can at least afford to fall to 0-2?
I wonder if you were really following me, because the Giants did take the train down, and I took the train down.
I always
do.
Same
train, though. But, you know, Washington, you can't start off 0-2 at home. That's a killer, even in a 17-game season. But I want to focus on the Giants because, you know, the NFL red zone, they have the witching hour.
Yeah.
It's kind of becoming the witching hour for Daniel Jones and the Giants.
One week in, Frank.
No. I'm talking about him and his career with the Giants.
Okay.
And there is one thing that he can do. I know he can do this. He can beat Washington. He's 4-0 against them as a starter. The problem is against everyone else in the NFL, he's 4-19. So all I keep hearing about is all these weapons the Giants have, whether it's Saquon Barkley, tight end, wide receiver, and they don't do enough offensively. They did not play well last week against Denver. Next week they have Atlanta. People in New York, Mike, they were thinking, you know what? Denver, Washington, Atlanta, we can go 3-0. I don't know about that. That's not happening now. Can you go 2-1? I'm not so sure that's going to happen either. It's the witching hour for the Giants and Daniel Jones.
So you got the Giants being able to less afford to lose this game. I'm going to say it's the Washington football team, Frank, and it's based on schedule, and here's what it is. They've already lost at home to the Chargers. You say you can't go 0-2? Yep. You can't go 0-2 at home. If they lose to the Giants tonight, they then have to go at Buffalo, at Atlanta. At Atlanta, it's winnable. But then Saints, Chiefs, at Packers, at Denver, where they never do well. When I was covering the team, they never did well, but that was John Elway. And then the Buccaneers. They need to win this game. And, Frank, look, both these teams have aspirations. They both think they can win that still weak division. People slurp the Cowboys. I get tired of it and don't understand why. There is a sense of urgency, and I understand what you're saying. Daniel Jones, it is on him. You can't, I mean, these 40 turnovers, he's got to show finally, and forget the New York Giants fans, he's got to show his teammates and his coaches that he's not a turnover machine. But I'm going to still say Washington. You can't lose those two games and go on that schedule and be successful.
Yeah, the Giants keep talking about, well, Eli struggled early on. He was 1-6 to start out as a rookie. But you mentioned the 40 turnovers in 28 games, 27 starts. Here's what Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley, a couple of years ago, a few days before Christmas in 2019, the Giants went down to Washington. Daniel Jones, 5 touchdown passes, no interceptions. Saquon Barkley, 187 yards rushing. They need something like that tonight because, again, all I keep hearing about, Mike, are these weapons that the Giants have.
Yeah.
When are we going to see it turn into
deployed
something tangible on the field?
Yeah. They got the weapons. They're not doing much so far. It's one game in, Frank, you impatient New Yorker.
All right. Meanwhile, the Raiders, they travel to Pittsburgh to play the Steelers on Sunday. It's a distant rematch of one of the great games in NFL history when the Steelers edged the Raiders in the final seconds of a 1972 playoff game. I think Mike covered that on one of the most famous plays in NFL history, the Immaculate Reception. Who will ever forget this? When Las Vegas quarterback Derek Carr was asked yesterday what he knew of the rivalry, he simply said, quote, "The ball touched the ground." Mike, is he right? And do you think this is effective trash talk?
No and no. No, he wasn't right. I don't think. I mean, how many cameras are deployed now to cover a football game, a playoff game. They had 20 cameras?
Yeah.
They had, like, you know, two dudes with cell phones is what they had at that game. Look, that game.
Little camcorders.
That game and that play are the most famous football things, respectively, I think, of my lifetime. I know there's the catch, there's the drive. There's a lot of stuff. But that may be number one, even though it wasn't on NFL Films list. So, no, it didn't touch the ground from what we can see. And Derek Carr wouldn't have any other view that we don't have. And no, it's not effective trash talking, because no one even on the Steelers knows what the hell that was, because nobody now under 50 has any sense of history.
I know.
It doesn't make any difference. I'm impressed with Derek Carr that he would drop it like that. And it was so funny and timely when he said didn't touch the ground. That was very cool. Makes me like Derek Carr more. Doesn't matter in the least.
Yeah, what I like about it is it's going to fire up. It's really not going to fire up any current players on the Steelers. What it's going to do, it's going to fire up their fan base, and we know they have a great fan base. And next thing you know, Derek Carr is going to be on the ground a bunch, I think, on Sunday in Pittsburgh. But I'll tell you, one of my earliest memories of football is Franco Harris. We loved him because he was half Italian. That ball did not hit the ground. And back then, if you remember, Mike, the reason why Oakland was arguing that play was because back then, two offensive players could not touch the ball. It had to be deflected.
No.
So that's what they were complaining about.
Yes.
But that rivalry, if you go back to 75, you remember this. They're playing the AFC title game. George Atkinson on a clean play knocks Lynn Swann out of the game.
Yes.
Lynn Swann spends 2 days in the hospital. Think about concussion protocol. Ended up playing in the Super Bowl. The following season, George Atkinson knocks him out again. Lynn Swann concussion. This time it wasn't a legal hit. Forearm to the back of the head.
Well,
that's a great robbery.
The phrase criminal intent
is
meant to describe the Oakland Raiders secondary and the hits they laid on people.
That's
and
right.
Specifically to narrow that down to hitting Steelers receivers
that's
in the Hall
right.
of Fame. And look, as a kid, it seems like you always saw whenever the Raiders and Steelers played each other. There were only at one point 23 teams in the NFL, something like that. I thought it was an odd number. And those games are surreal. And you don't have any hitting like that. You really don't have any out-of-division rivalries like that. I mean, maybe the Patriots and the Colts at one point were. But it's staggering, and it seems like Derek Carr might be the only guy who realizes that at the moment.
And, Mike, think about this, too. Pretty quick turnaround for Las Vegas. You play on a Monday night. That game on Sunday is a 1 p.m. game.
Yeah.
Advantage Steelers, and their special teams and their defense was great against Buffalo. That's
excited
why they got that road win.
Yep. We have friction ahead of the Ryder Cup.
Good. Good.
U.S. team member Brooks Koepka told Golf Digest he finds moving from an individual sport to a team dynamic odd, adding, quote, I know how to take responsibility for the shots I hit every week. Now somebody else hits a bad shot and left me in a bad spot, and I know this hole is a loss. Close quote. To which former Ryder Cup captain, now broadcaster, Paul Azinger said, quote, if he doesn't love it, he should relinquish his spot and get people there who do love it. Close quote. Frank, is Azinger right in his criticism of Koepka?
I can appreciate the fact that Paul Azinger loves the Ryder Cup and, you know, the red, white, and blue and everything like that. I don't think that Brooks Koepka was saying that he doesn't want to be there. I think all he was explaining how difficult it is for him at the Ryder Cup. Now, he was the only one of the 12 golfers that didn't show up for the practice session. So, you know, that raised some eyebrows. But he is, you know, healing from an injured left wrist.
Right.
If this is the way that he prepares for a tournament, let him do that. He's still number 9 in the world. He's a good golfer. He'll play well if he's healthy. So I'm not going to get wrapped up in this idea that he doesn't want to be there. He's spoken to the coach, Steve Stricker, and Steve Stricker is relayed to the media. It seems like all systems are go. So I'm not going down this road of you don't want to be here, don't show up. I think he wants to be there. He's showing up when he's good and ready to show up.
I think I agree with you, Frank. I understand Azinger's criticism as a former captain. I do. And as a player on that team, I get it. But I didn't read that much into Koepka's initial statement and that his initial quote. And he's right. I mean, I talked to people this past weekend, you know, this past week, who can draw the distinction and understand the difference between something you do, you know, every week for 2 years.
Right.
You play by yourself. And then to try to put it in a team format 1 week every other year, we're not counting the President's Cup in this discussion, that's accurate. That's just right on the money. Now, what do you do about it? How do you handle it? The European teams seem to, particularly in recent years, figured out a way to handle that change in dynamic better than we have. And that's a big challenge, whether you do it with more experienced players, whether you do it with obsessive preparation, whether you do it with younger players who have no memory of this. We don't know. We're going to find out whether, you know, Steve Stricker's version of this works. But I didn't go nuts over Koepka. I think you want to have Brooks Koepka, who's been up to some big moments. I think you want to have him on your team.
If he's healthy, you do. And if you know what happens all the time at the Ryder Cup? There always seems to be a lot of friction with the U.S. players, more so than the Europeans. There's always a lot of infighting.
Yeah, but we don't have to create some. And I don't think this is natural. Now, if it was somebody yelling Brooksy, that's another story.
That'll do it.
Let's take a break. But coming up, Matt Ryan has never beaten the Golden Boy. So should we root for Matty Ice this weekend?
And Cedric Mullins made an incredible catch last night. But did Henry Ramos top it? Toss up. That's next.
I'm excited about the Ryder Cup.
I am too. There's always fighting on the U.S.
Can't wait for that.
Always complaining about something to the media.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Time to spank Frank and toss up. Let's get the first one from the producer over the loudspeaker.
Toss up, who are you rooting for in their matchup on Sunday? Matt Ryan or Tom Brady?
Well, I mean, this is sort of easy in terms of the outcome. Doesn't matter who you're rooting for. Brady's 8-0 in his career versus Atlanta. He's 6-0 against Matt Ryan. The game's in Tampa. Yeah. I'm not even going to get into this 28-3 nonsense. And as a matter of fact, I'm not rooting for either one of these guys. There's no need to root for Brady. He doesn't need the help. You know who needs the help? Jared Goff and the Detroit Lions. They need the help in Lambeau against Aaron Rodgers. All right? Now, I was going to pick this as my 16-point game in my confidence pool, but okay. I usually don't do that against division situations, in-division situations. But then I'm going to make Green Bay my 16-point. That's a division situation. I'm rooting for the Detroit Lions because they need my help. Who are you rooting for?
Well, here's the thing about Brady, all right? So as we get older, we should root for the older players in the league. And how about seeing Tom Brady go undefeated? I know I'm going to get kicked out of the studio for saying something like that. But if you're Matt Ryan, you're at Boston College. Who's in New England? Tom Brady. You get drafted by the Falcons. You make it to the Super Bowl. Who do you play in the Super Bowl? Tom Brady. And like you mentioned, he's 0-6 against Brady. Now he's in the division. You're in the same city with him, the same Super
Bowl.
Now it's the same division.
Follows you down south.
And then Tom Brady, as he's getting older, he likes trolling. That's what the young kids call it on social media. He posted something, and behind him on the computer, the time was 3:28.
Don't tell me you believe this garbage.
I'm one of these internet sleuths. I look at stuff like that. They loved it. Brady, Edelman, they love doing stuff like that. They love tweaking poor Arthur Blank and Matt Ryan all the time about 28-3.
I can't believe you've fallen. You've sunken to such depths.
Try to keep up with the young people.
Look, here's the thing. This is a lock. This is a lock.
12.5-point favorites, they are.
I'm not even going with the point spread. I'm not even doing that. I'm not giving This is a lock. I'm talking about wins losses,
I mean.
Tom Brady in Tampa. What's next?
Toss-up better catch from last night, Cedric Mullins or Henry Ramos?
Well, the first one we're going to see, we've had a lot of Cedric Mullins on this show for a Baltimore Oriole, the center fielder and a terrific player, even though his team stinks. And he robs Gary Sanchez. Look how high. That's like Vince
Carter. He's only 5'8".
High. Look at this catch. Are you kidding me? This is elbow in the rim stuff. And, of course, Arizona left fielder Henry Ramos. Henry Ramos. I mean, he is flying face first luckily, some padding. I was going to say the turnbuckle, but this is a terrific catch. But it's Cedric Mullins. It's Cedric Mullins, Frank. Are you going to disagree with me on this?
Well, I am. And to be only 5'8", to make that catch is impressive.
Mookie who gets robbed.
But he's going back, which you kind of know where the wall is. Ramos is running into the wall.
It's padded.
Off that hit by Mookie Betts.
Not Wrigley Field.
But here, since you went off topic before with the Lions, I'm going to go off topic. How come we didn't mention what happened with the Cardinals and the Mets last night? Pete Alonso was about to hit a 3-run home run, and the Cardinals' Lars Nootbaar, if you go to Michael Wilbon's house on Halloween, he hands out M&Ms and Lars Nootbaars, stole a home run. And that's a team that won the game off of a great catch.
We don't want to acknowledge the playoffs. Cardinals. There's been the two teams I hate most in the National League are, in order, the Cardinals by like 50 spaces, and then we get to the Mets. And you just mentioned the double.
Hey.
All right, the double-double. You thought that was a better catch than either one of these two?
Well, it's factoring.
Mullins was
they
a great
won
catch.
The game, and it's factoring into a pennant race. And by the way, St. Louis at home this weekend against the Padres. So they're right in the mix of it. We could get St. Louis, and I know you're not going to want to hear this, one of the best organizations, not just in baseball,
yes, all
but in sports.
In all the sports.
And they could give the Dodgers trouble in a one-game single elimination.
They would give the Dodgers trouble. And I keep telling people every year, the Washington people didn't understand this a few years ago when the Nationals were like up 6-0 in a clinch game against the Cardinals. And I said, you people, you don't understand the Cardinals. I understand the Cardinals. Sadly, that's it. Let's take one last break, but still to come, when will Mike Trout play again?
And some bad news for the Cowboys defense.
I got Cowboys going down again. I got them losing again, 0-2.
Mike, I'm more of a Mounds guy, not a Lars Nootbaar guy.
Nootbaar, I'm giving out Baby Ruth, dude.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Time to get happy, people. Happy 26th birthday, Aaron Gordon. The Nuggets forward just agreed to a 4-year, $92 million extension after averaging 12-6-3 in 25 games with Denver. Gordon started last season with the Magic, the team that drafted him fourth overall in 2014. And while he's never quite been the scoring star some imagined, he's been an effective wing defender. And his presence is especially important to a talented Nuggets team that made it to the Western Conference Finals semifinals despite losing Jamal Murray to a knee injury last April. Gordon is confounding to analytics geeks because his value is going to have to be assessed by the impact he has in subtle ways on a team that thinks it can win it all this season.
You know, Mike, all he has to do is cut to the basket. Nikola Jokic is going to find him. He's going to get about 3 dunks a game. Speaking of dunks, remember the conspiracy in Chicago a few years ago at the All-Star Weekend when your guy Dwayne Wade wasn't impressed that Aaron Gordon jumped over Taco Fall, who's about 7'6"?
I was okay with the result, but I was impressed. I really was.
It was impressive.
Happy anniversary, Dave Winfield, on this day 28 years ago while playing with the Twins. Winfield got the 3,000th hit of his career off of fellow Hall of Famer Dennis Eckersley. He was the 19th player to reach that number and the first to do it in his hometown, grew up in St. Paul, and starred in baseball and basketball for the University of Minnesota. In 1973, Winfield was drafted by four teams in three different sports, spurning the Atlanta Hawks of the NBA, the Utah Stars of the ABA, and the Vikings of the NFL in order to sign with the San Diego Padres. Over a 22-season career spent mostly with the Padres and Yanks, Winfield was a 12-time All-Star, 7-time Gold Glover, and even won a World Series with the Blue Jays in 92.
I'll tell you what, unbelievable athlete. And if you go back to when George Steinbrenner, the Yankees' late owner, called Dave Winfield Mr. May, in the 92 World Series for Toronto, Dave Winfield got a huge hit that helped them win. That meant a lot to him, not only just to win a World Series, but to have a clutch hit in the deciding game.
And now you can find Dave Winfield in an additional sport on the golf course. Just take a look. That guy, 6'6 or so. Yeah, it might be Dave Winfield.
Intimidating at the plate.
Happy trails, Mike Trout. Angels manager Joe Maddon says he'd be very surprised if the three-time MVP plays again this season. Trout injured his right calf on the base paths in mid-May, and the team originally thought he'd be out 6 to 8 weeks. Maddon told reporters back in July that his star outfielder was close to 100%, but Trout hasn't been able to shake the soreness and has remained sidelined. When Trout went down, he was hitting .333 with an OPS of nearly 1,100. Maddon says the 30-year-old remains fully engaged with the team that went into today's action three games under .500. Frank, is Trout now officially star-crossed?
Well, let's think about this for a minute. He's only appeared in three playoff games. He has one hit. Think about how many playoff games Mookie Betts has played in the last couple of years. You know. Meanwhile, Shohei Ohtani, they had other news. Shohei Ohtani, right soreness in his right arm soreness, he's not going to pitch on Friday. Probably done for the season pitching, Mike.
Well, he's still going to be the MVP. Going back to Trout for a second, I mean, Frank, nobody knows him. Nobody sees him. He doesn't play in October, which is the magic to baseball. This reminds me, sadly, of my hero, Ernie Banks.
He's only 30, though.
Only 30. But Ernie was only this, only that, less than 30 when he won two MVPs, and he never got to the big action in October. That's a sad happy.
And it's easier now to get to the playoffs.
It is. Everybody gets there. No errors today, so we're running out of show. Let's get to the big finish. Cowboys defensive end DeMarcus Lawrence out 6 to 8 weeks with a broken foot. Is he a big loss, Frank?
This is huge. He's their best defensive player. They could also be without their second best pass rusher, Randy Gregory, against the Chargers on Sunday. He's in COVID protocol. That's big.
Raiders
backup quarterback Marcus Mariota will be out several weeks with a quad injury. Is this significant?
Well, you hate to see it, but only significant if Carr is forced out and then you have to go to the backup. So you hope not. The Milwaukee Bucks hired Lisa Byington as their full-time TV play-by-play announcer. This is significant, is it not?
Absolutely it is. I actually interviewed her today on my radio show.
Good.
She's earned this position. By the way, at Northwestern, she played basketball and soccer.
An overachiever, Michael. We are proud.
CBS Sports says the AAC is targeting Boise State and UAB, among others, to replace the schools it lost to the Big 12. Your thoughts?
People bore me with these conference questions. It doesn't even matter anymore. Just play. Last one, college football tonight. Ohio at Louisiana.
It's going to be Louisiana. I have a vested interest in the Ohio women's soccer team, though.
Okay.
I want them to win.
All right.
We're out of time. Thanks for watching. I'm Frank Isola.
I thought it was some betting line. I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knucklehead.
It's 19.
You can get the podcast on the app or Apple Podcast. And now, here's SportsCenter, Louisiana, not LSU.
BTI.